Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. An eventful Monday in the AFC North, just a day removed from the Steelers' win over the Cleveland Browns, and the Browns have now begun the process of cleaning house. We talked last week about the power struggle that was emerging between Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley over control of the offense, and it felt like it was just a matter of time before Hugh Jackson would be shown the door and Todd Haley would take over as interim head coach. Well, the Browns elected to go in a different direction entirely and firing both Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley and putting Greg Williams now as the interim head coach. We'll talk about that today. We'll also talk about a report from ESPN's Jeremy Fowler about why Artie Burns didn't see the field at all on Sunday. And it's not just because of his play on the field. There's some off-the-field problems with Artie as well. And then we'll also talk today about the potential trades the Steelers could make, today being the deadline. Today, Tuesday at 4 p.m., the trade deadline in the National Football League. So we'll go over the possibilities of some guys the Steelers may be looking at bringing in today. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Serino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts. Search Locked On Steelers. Hit that subscribe button, and you will get your daily dose. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You can find us on Facebook. Search Locked On Steelers, like the Facebook page, or you can join the Facebook group. And you can now find us on Instagram at Locked On Steelers. And then let's start today with some news and notes. I do want to correct myself from yesterday. I referred to Ben Roethlisberger's injury to his index finger being on his throwing hand. It's actually on his non-throwing hand, so he should be fine. And again, Tomlin will update that during Tuesday's press conference, but I expect Ben would be absolutely fine going into that game against the Ravens. Again, an injury to on his hand, but on his non-throwing hand, should be fine. Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley were both fired on Monday. Here's NFL Network's Ian Rappaport describing how it got to this point.
Yeah, here's my understanding of the situation. It was definitely dysfunctional, mostly on the offensive side of the ball, but obviously, considering that the Browns removed their head coach, Hugh Jackson, today, there was dysfunction all over. So first, my understanding was going into Sunday's game, if they lost, or maybe just if they played, which they obviously, whatever happened, that a change was going to be made. Something was coming. We talked about this on the pregame show on Sunday. Something clearly needed to be altered for the Browns to move forward in the right direction. I know there were certain important people in the organization that tried to get Haley and Hugh Jackson to work together. It did not happen. So there were certain people in the organization who were leaning toward keeping Hugh. Jimmy Haslam believed to be one of those. Certain people who were leaning toward keeping Haley. And there were certainly others who believed that. In the end, they fired Hugh first. That happened earlier this morning. And then as they looked toward potentially who would be the interim and how to proceed, they also fired Todd Haley, which led to a lot more questions. First of all, who's going to run the offense? Ken Zampezi, possibly the quarterback's coach. But also, where did the issues lie in the organization? From what I was told, Todd Haley was simply not listening to Hugh Jackson, kind of doing his own thing. That's one way to get fired. And yeah, I mean, Tom, I think we know the Browns have... Browns are starting clean here with the new leadership at GM and inside the building, and there needs to be some changes.
So the power struggle between Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson ends up with them both being fired. I had just assumed it was going to be Haley made head coach and Hugh Jackson would get fired at some point. In fact, I think a lot of people felt like that, especially you go back and watch Hard Knocks. It felt like Haley was a guy who was just biding his time waiting for Hugh Jackson to be let go. I never really understood the whole situation, to be honest. You know, Todd Haley did feel like a head coach in waiting, but then the question was always, why are you bringing in a head coach in waiting when you could just fire Hugh Jackson? I mean, they have plenty of reason to fire Hugh Jackson. He's 1-31 in his first 2 years, including an 0-16 year. Again, the guy is amongst the worst head coaches of all time statistically. So you have all the reason in the world to let him go, and bringing in a guy like Todd Haley, certainly you're not doing that to solve any of your problems, because here's a guy in Haley who everywhere he goes butts heads with whoever he's working with. And so that was always going to be the case in Cleveland. And now to hear reports that, you know, they were surprised by the dysfunction and they wanted this organization, they want an organization where everyone works together. I mean, I don't buy that when you brought in Haley to work with Hugh Jackson. We talk about dysfunction in Pittsburgh at times, and we use that word probably too lightly because, again, no one does dysfunction like the Cleveland Browns. You don't have to look far to find real dysfunction in an organization. You know, the Cleveland Browns, I know there's all this excitement now because this head coaching job is going to open up and there's a ton of talent there. And I agree, there is a ton of talent in Cleveland right now. You know, I think Baker Mayfield's a very good quarterback. I think Nick Chubb could be a good running back. They have some guys. I mean, they have a nucleus there. But again, you know, whatever coach they bring in, head coach is not their problem, right? The idea that they continued to let Hugh Jackson coach a football team after going 1-31, and then they brought in Todd Haley, not to be the head coach in waiting, but to really try and get along and get this offense moving. Again, how did they ever imagine that that was going to work itself out? And it's just a poorly run organization from the top. I get the excitement around Cleveland, but, you know, again, you're talking about an excitement around a football team that just fired its head coach midseason, fired its offensive coordinator midseason, and traded away their potentially best player in Josh Gordon for a fifth-round pick a couple weeks ago. You know, I don't, that's an exciting organization right now in Cleveland. That is how, again, we talk about dysfunction. It is, nobody does dysfunction like the Cleveland Browns. Hey, before we continue, I want to tell you guys about Vivid Seats, an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that will last a lifetime. And for Steeler fans, that means a trip out to Heinz Field. There's nothing like seeing this team in person. If you've already been to Heinz Field and you're just looking for great prices on a ticket, well, look no further. You can sort by price, or you can look for seats in the section and row of your choice. My choice would be on the Steelers sideline. Even in the upper deck, you're going to get a great view of not just the game, but the city behind the stadium. And to make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. Go to the App Store or Google Play, download the Vivid Seats app, and use the promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. And every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. We have an update from ESPN's Jeremy Fowler as to why Artie Burns did not see the field on Sunday. Of course, you could just chalk it up to his play on the field. And as we saw Artie Burns against the Cincinnati Bengals, it was not pretty. Backpedaling into the end zone on the first touchdown, and then on the last drive, a ridiculous pass interference penalty that, again, he had good coverage on. Didn't really need to hold the guy there, but, you know, I think his confidence is shot to the point where he felt like he had to hold him, led to the pass interference call, and gave the Bengals some free yardage there. So Artie did not have a good game, and again, you can argue that his lack of playing time against the Browns was just chalked up to how poor his performance was against the Bengals, but that's not even the case. It has now spilled off the field when it comes to Artie Burns, as Jeremy Fowler is reporting that he was late to a team activity, and that activity may have been a pregame walkthrough, which explains why Artie Burns did not see any snaps. Again, not only did he not see a snap in a rotation with Cody Sensabaugh, which is what he's been doing all season so far since he was benched in week three, but now he didn't even see the field when Cody Sensabaugh went down with injury in this football game. Late in the game, it was Cam Sutton who came in. So Burns, he was just benched for the entire football game. The question now is, do you bring him back, and when do you bring him back? You have a guy whose confidence is shot on the football field, and that's on display for every team to see. And Tomlin talked about this during his press conference on Tuesday last week about how, you know, Artie's going to have to answer this challenge because now he's put a bunch of bad tape out there, and when he is out there, teams are going to throw to him and try to make him, you know, make him earn it. And my problem for Artie Burns now is, you know, your confidence is shot on the football field, and now you're late to a team activity. You know, you can chalk this up as just being angry, and this is him lashing out at the team for benching him these past couple weeks. But I think this is again another more evidence that his confidence is just shot. And again, this is not a guy who is a guy who's feeling sorry for himself rather than a guy who's really trying to get back out there and earn his spot back. Again, maybe reading too much into the situation. I can't get into Artie Burns' head, but being late to a walkthrough is not what you're going to do, not what Artie Burns needs to do to get back on the football field. And this is a guy who's in year three. It's not a contract year, but it's kind of a contract year because Artie Burns in the offseason is eligible to have his fifth-year option picked up. The Steelers just picked up the Bud Dupree's fifth-year option a year ago. So again, the Steelers are giving out fifth-year options to guys who are borderline, but Artie Burns at this point in his career, not even borderline. I mean, if the season ended tomorrow, there's not a chance in hell that Artie Burns is getting his fifth-year option. And so the only way that he's going to get that fifth-year option is if he improves his play, gets back out there, earns that starting spot back. He doesn't need to be a shutdown corner. He just needs to be a starter-caliber corner, which we've seen him be in the past. But yeah, you know, I think Christopher Carter nailed it a couple weeks ago when he said Artie Burns right now has just lost all his confidence. And, you know, even in this report from Jeremy Fowler, he says that Artie Burns has had some good practices. We saw Artie Burns have a great training camp. Again, I was glowing about Artie Burns throughout the entirety of training camp. I thought he was terrific, and he really was. Again, I thought his confidence was high at that point. But yeah, whatever happened early in the year, and it's, you know, again, he took some lumps in that game against the Chiefs. He just has not recovered from that moment. And these moments have happened. It's not like the Chiefs game was the first time. I mean, this guy has struggled throughout his entire career. But it did feel like going into year three that maybe he had turned a corner. It's really disappointing now what's happened to Artie. And again, now going into this game against Baltimore, I don't know that if you're Keith Butler, if you're Mike Tomlin, if you're Tom Bradley, the secondary coach, are you willing to put Artie Burns out there now in this game against the Ravens, considering how much success the Ravens had beating the Steelers down the football field and how many problems Artie Burns has had in those moments? Are you even going to put him out there in that football game? And you'll start looking at the schedule, you start asking yourself, when are you comfortable putting Artie Burns back out there over Cody Sensabaugh? I'm not saying we've seen the last of Artie Burns, but this is not a good look for him. And he, like James Washington, is going to have a tough road back into the starting lineup. Hey, before we continue, I want to tell you guys about Swap.com. Isn't it crazy how much we pay for new brand name clothes? Wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? Well, there is. It's Swap.com, the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. Stop driving to store after store and sifting through racks when you can easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on Swap.com with their easy-to-use filters to find just what you need. With Swap.com, you can save up to 90% off retail price on your favorite brands like Carter's, Nike, J. Crew, and Gap. They have quality hand-inspected items that are added daily, and if something doesn't fit, you can enjoy hassle-free returns within 30 days. Special offer for listeners of this podcast, get 35% off select items for your first order with the promo code LOCKEDON. And be sure to check out their homepage every day for new deals. And then let's finish up today with the trade rumors that continue to be thrown around. Today is the trade deadline. So today is the last day for trades to be made in the NFL. 4 p.m. today is the trade deadline. Today is the last day the Steelers could potentially trade Le'Veon Bell, though that seems very unlikely given that Le'Veon Bell has not showed up to a Steeler facility yet to sign his franchise tag, and he would have to sign his franchise tag before he could be traded. So seems like Le'Veon Bell will not be traded today. Patrick Peterson's been another name, a cornerback from the Arizona Cardinals, an all-pro. He's been thrown around as a name that the Steelers could bring in or trade for. Certainly, there were a lot of Steeler players that were going to social media to petition the Steelers to make that trade. Sounds like that's not happening. He released that statement saying he's staying with the Arizona Cardinals, so it seems like that trade is dead. Gerrion Conley, the cornerback from the Oakland Raiders, his name got thrown around a little bit. Makes a little more sense. Again, Gerrion Conley, a young guy, just drafted last year. Very disappointing so far in Oakland. He's been benched. It would have to be kind of a reclamation project in Pittsburgh. The problem for me is, you know, Gerrion Conley makes sense for the Steelers given that the Steelers seem to have a long-term problem at cornerback if Artie Burns isn't going to be that guy. But it doesn't really solve a problem today. Again, Gerrion Conley has been disappointing in Oakland. You're going to bring him into Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has been a place where they haven't really done a great job of developing young cornerbacks. And again, what the Steelers need immediately is a plug-and-play guy who can take over for Cody Sensabaugh. And you're not really getting that in Gerrion Conley. You're going to have to get a guy in Conley who, again, it's a reclamation project. You have to bring him back up to speed and get him to be a starter-capable cornerback. Just not sure that's where he is right now in his career. So could the Steelers trade for Conley? Yes. I just don't think it solves an immediate problem in 2018. Another name being thrown around is cornerback Janoris Jenkins. And we talked about him last week. I just think the price tag on Jenkins is way too high. $14 million next year. That's far, far, far too high, especially for the Pittsburgh. So I don't see any way that he's being brought in. And those really are the names that have been linked to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, there's been some other guys have been thrown around at cornerback. Been some rumors that the Broncos may be listening to offers for Bradley Roby, their outside corner, the replacement for Aqib Talib. He's only 26 years old. He's in the last year of his deal, so it's going to cost around $5 million in prorated salary to bring him in. But he's been a quality cornerback throughout his career for the Broncos. And again, there's a reason why they were willing to trade Aqib Talib and promote Bradley Roby to the starting position. He hasn't had a great year so far. He's had a quarterback rating against him of 115, so he has not been great. There's no doubt about that. But I still think Bradley Roby is better than what the Steelers have today at outside corner. And he's a starter capable guy at 26 years old who you can bring in and start right away. The only question for Bradley Roby for me would be, is he a rental? Is the last year of his deal, are the Steelers going to be able to sign him to a long-term deal in the offseason? Because I don't think the Broncos are parting ways with Bradley Roby for you know, a late round pick. So Steelers are gonna have to give up something substantial, third round pick, maybe even a second round pick for Bradley Roby. And if they do that, you really have to hope that, again, this guy, first of all, kind of shakes it off in Pittsburgh and has a better year in the second half of the year. And you would have to hope you can re-sign him to the contract he wants in the offseason, not just lose him. Because you don't want to have him, you don't want to give away that draft pick for a rental. So I think Bradley Roby makes some sense as well at cornerback, but we'll see what the Steelers do. They certainly have a need. Again, with the Artie Burns situation where it is, cornerback is a big need in Pittsburgh. There's also been some talk about wide receiver, and of course, Steeler fans are not taking well to Justin Hunter's second stint as the starting outside wide receiver in this offense. I get it, right? I get it. This offense could definitely use a better outside receiver, and I think that's why the Steelers benched James Washington and went with Justin Hunter. But they could use a better one than Justin Hunter. I mean, what this offense is really missing right now is a true deep threat, someone who defenses have to worry about on every play that they, you know, could take the top off of the defense. Look, we've seen Juju go deep and make big plays deep down the field, but again, he's not, defenses are rolling safeties to his side, you know, because he's running deep routes every play. It's just not his game. I mean, the Steelers could definitely use a better speed guy, or again, a Justin Hunter type, a guy who can take the top off the defense. But Justin Hunter has earned no respect throughout the NFL. So if the Steelers were going to look outside the organization for a player like that, you look around who would be available. Golden Tate, look, I love Golden Tate, but he doesn't fit that bill, right? He's more of an over-the-middle guy. Emmanuel Sanders would be cute, but I don't think the Steelers are bringing Emmanuel Sanders back. Demaryius Thomas fits the bill, but I don't know if Demaryius Thomas today fits. Demaryius Thomas 5-7 years ago fits the bill. Demaryius Thomas today, I'm not sure that Demaryius Thomas of today fits that bill. The one guy whose name has been thrown around that I think might actually, you know, raise an eyebrow for me, certainly, is DeSean Jackson of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He makes sense from what the Steelers need. A fast, deep threat receiver, keeping safeties on, his big play guy. The question for DeSean Jackson would be, A, what are you giving up for DeSean Jackson? And B, is he willing to play third fiddle to AB, Juju, and Connor in this offense? I don't think that he would be. And again, I think that's why I'm okay with where the Steelers are right now. There's only one football, right? So we have AB. We haven't seen the best of AB in 2018 just yet. He's still getting healthy and getting himself together. He was better against the Falcons and then better against the Bengals and now better against the Browns. But we still haven't seen AB have a true AB-like performance. And that's coming in the second half of the year. Juju has been terrific. We don't need a guy taking reps away from Juju. Connor, again, this team still needs to flow the offense through James Connor. And so whatever they do it outside right wide receiver, it doesn't need to be anything to disrupt what's already working on this offense. You would like a guy who has the same kind of skill set that Justin Hunter had or James Washington had, but is better, right? And I don't know that guy exists right now as a trade partner. I'm happy with where the Steelers are at outside receiver. They need Justin Hunter to be more consistent, or they need James Washington to develop back into a guy who they're willing to start. But I think that's where the Steelers are right now at outside wide receiver. Then there's been a couple other edge rushers. Here's where I am at edge rusher. I don't know that it's a huge need that I'm willing to go out and spend a draft pick to bring in. Certainly not the names that have been thrown out there. Hassan Reddick is interesting, and I liked Hassan Reddick in the draft, but what am I giving up to get Hassan Reddick, a guy who's been a disappointment already? Where does he fit in this defense right now? Is he in the rotation with Chickalo? You know, look, if the Steelers want another guy in the rotation with Chickalo, Oladini can be added to the roster for free. You don't have to give up a draft pick to promote Oladini, and I just don't see any need to give up a draft pick when they have Oladini. I'm not saying Oladini's the next James Harrison, but don't give up a draft pick for a guy who's been a disappointment somewhere else when you have a guy who's shown some signs in preseason that he could be, yeah, he could be a specialty spot pass rusher at times. I'd rather see Oladini given playing time than the Steelers go out and get a Bruce Irvin or a Hassan Reddick or some of the other names that have been thrown out. It's certainly going to be a busy trade deadline if you believe the rumors. There are a lot of teams looking to add to their to the arsenal, and the Steelers are one of them. I mean, the Steelers definitely have a need right now at cornerback. Gary and Conley, Janoris Jenkins have been two names that have been linked to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think Bradley Roby would be a smart pick for the Steelers if they could get him for a draft pick that's not too high, and hopefully they will be able to work out a long-term deal with him. But I think if the Steelers are going to make a trade today, it's going to be at cornerback. I don't expect Le'Veon Bell to be traded today, but you never know. You know, wild things happen on trade day, so we'll see what happens, and we'll report on it tomorrow right here on Locked On Steelers. All right, that'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.